So today, I want to talk about the principle of planting seeds, and it relates to a passage that we read in our reading plan this last week. So I don't know about for you guys, but for me, there's something in me that kind of wants my life to count, like to do something with my life, something bigger than just me, what I bring to the table. I don't know if you ever feel that way. But I think it's a common feeling for a lot of people that we sense that maybe God's created us for a purpose, and in a healthy way of looking at it, we want to walk into that purpose. And we think that that purpose is sometimes maybe bigger than normal life. And I want to look at a passage that talks about how we can live for something bigger than ourselves today. But let me share a story with you. I watched a movie a couple of weeks ago with my oldest son, Blaze. It's called American Animals. Any of you seen that? I don't know if I should recommend it or not. It probably has a lot of language, but interesting movie. And it's a true story of four college kids. And they got themselves into some trouble. And what happened was one of them was, I think he was just going through like the freshman orientation type of thing. And you know how you do the tour of the library? And he's getting the tour of the library. And they're like, oh, and in this special room, we have these books. And they had this book by John Audubon, the bird guy, and it was like his original drawings in this big book, and it's worth $12 million. And they had it under glass, and they had one of the first copies of Origin of Species, which was worth over $1 million. And so they're going through this class, and this kid gets this idea. He's like, hey, the only thing that's standing between me and being a millionaire is a few librarians. And so he needed some help, so he got another guy involved, and then they realized they needed a smarter person involved, and they got another guy involved, and they ended up having four. And it's a true story, 2004, Transylvania University in Kentucky. Any of you ever heard of that? I'll admit to my ignorance. I thought Transylvania had something to do with vampires. Is that right? So I don't know. Maybe that's where they go to school. But the thing that was fascinating to me about the movie was these kids' motivation. Because it seemed like they weren't really motivated by the money. It didn't seem like a greed thing as much as more just, let's do something. You know, let's not just be like everybody else. Let's do something. And I really resonated with that. And here's what the guy said. He said, do you ever feel like you're waiting for something to happen, but you don't know what it is? The thing that could make your life special. And when he said that, that just really resonated with me. It's like, oh yeah. When I was that age, I thought that a lot. I think I still can be driven that way. I think a lot of us are. And I think it can be healthy. Like it talks about in Ephesians 2:10, how we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I think there should be this sense of, man, God created me for something special. Something for me to walk into that's bigger than myself. And I think in that sense, that's good. I think it can also be kind of a thing that we maybe make into an idol. It's like about me. I want my name to be promoted. I want to be famous. I want to make a big splash. And in that sense, it's not real healthy. When I was in college, I got involved with one of our sister churches. And they were kind of in that phase in their church life. They were real politically active, socially active. And so the very first thing I did with them is I picketed someone. We picketed a gal named Gloria Steinem. And so I went to this meeting. They talked about her and how bad she was. To be honest, I had no clue who she was. All I knew was what they told me. And I'm like, okay, good enough. And I don't think they would have had to have said hardly anything about her. I just thought the idea of picketing somebody was kind of fun. You know, it's like, I've never done that before. Let's do it. So that probably wasn't the greatest motivation. I was getting involved in social activism just because I wanted to do something. But you catch that heart there of, you know, let's make a splash. Let's do something bigger than ourselves. And I don't think that was the purest motivation when I did it. But I think it can be. I think it is something that God built inside of us. Think about Jesus when he called the fishermen. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We kind of know what that means, right? But to them, fishers of men, well, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means, but it sounds bigger than what I'm doing now, right? It's like, all right, that sounds important. Let's jump in and do that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think God's designed us that we want something more than what we can do in our own strength. And so I want to talk about this principle of planting seeds because I think it relates to that. Let's pray. God, we just ask that you would bless this time here today. God, I thank you that you have created us with purpose. And God, I pray you'd help us just to see practically how we can walk into that. And not for our own glory, but just because you have us here for a reason. Help us to find that reason, to walk in that reason, and to live for you, not ourselves. And so we pray that you would just minister to us here this morning, speak to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the passage. It's from John 12:23. So Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So first off, I think it's good just to think about how that would have landed on people when Jesus said this. Because we don't get that benefit of hearing it for the first time. If you've gone to church very much, you've probably heard this passage or a similar passage before or read it on your own. For them, I think, man, that would be shocking. Like what? Wow. Because you're listening, you're like, okay, well, what's Jesus saying? What's important? What do I want to walk away with? They don't have stuff written down. They're not walking back from a teaching with their Bible and, oh, let me look that up later. They're just, you know, whatever hits them. I would think when he said something like this, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I would just think that would be stuck in your head. You'd be thinking about, what in the world does that mean? Like, wow. That's an incredible thing. You'd be chewing on that. Hey, do you remember when Jesus said that? What did he say exactly? Okay, what do you think that means? And, you know, it would be something that you would really want to figure out. What is this? Because I think you'd have that sense of there's something big here. There's something big. And I think it's good for us to have that sense of there is something big here. And so what this is, I'm just going to call the principle of planting seeds. Doesn't sound super glamorous, but I think it's a pretty big deal. Giving your life multiplies your life. Giving your life multiplies your life. I think if we could just walk away with that, that would be something really important to hold on to. Giving your life multiplies your life. And it's not super intuitive. But Jesus uses the example of a kernel of wheat. And he says, you know, unless this kernel of wheat dies, it's just a single seed. It's just whatever a kernel of wheat is worth. What can you do with a kernel of wheat? What can you sell it for? Suppose you could chew on it. You could make a little tiny baby loaf of bread with it. I don't know that I've ever eaten a kernel of wheat unless that's one of those things that's in healthy bread that you're like, yeah, why is this chunky? You know, it's just a kernel of wheat. And unless it dies, unless it goes back into the ground, that's all it is. It's just whatever it is, whatever value it adds, that's it. But if it goes in the ground and dies, in a sense, it dies to what it was, because becomes something else, sprouts, well, then it's a whole different thing, right? So honestly, I don't really relate to wheat very well. I don't know why, it just doesn't trip my trigger. I like acorns. I think acorns are cool. You know, when you think about seeds, acorns are one of the cool seeds. Maple, the little maple whirlybird things are also very cool. But I don't know why I like them. I suppose it's because they have hats. But you just like acorns, like when you're a kid and you find an acorn. It's like, oh, acorn, put that in your pocket, you know. You don't do that with a kernel of wheat. Like, oh, look, I got 10 kernels of wheat. There's just something cool about acorns. So anyway, I was reading up a little bit on oak trees. In a good year, the bumper crop, an oak tree can produce 10,000 acorns. 10,000 acorns. That's a lot. So I don't know how many bumper crops they have in their lifespan. and how many they produce in a normal year, but it seemed like maybe in a lifespan they could produce maybe 100,000 acorns out of one tree. That's pretty crazy to think about. And then if you have 100,000 acorns, you could plant 100,000 oak trees, which is amazing. With 100,000 oak trees, you can do some stuff, right? You can build houses or make toys or furniture, pirate ships. You could probably do other types of ships too, but pirate ships are the cool type. And so you can do stuff with oak, right? With wood. And so you've taken something that was insignificant and you killed it in a sense. You killed it to what it was. And then it multiplied into something that was really useful. And then you think of those 100,000 oak trees, and if they all produced 100,000 seeds over their lifetime, then you got a huge amount of trees. I didn't do the math ahead of time, but it would be like 10 zeros, or, you know, I mean, that's whatever it is, it's more acorns than you could plant in your lifetime if you dedicated your whole life to just planting acorns. You know, it's an insane amount. And so if you just took this little acorn seed and you're ready to plant it in the ground, and if it could cry out and be like, whoa, what are you doing? Don't do that. I don't want to be buried. You know, I'm kind of cool. I like my hat. I like the way I look. I like my color. And you know, I'm an acorn. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I can appreciate that. You are kind of cool, but the principle of seeds is, you know, if you die, if you give of your life, then your life's multiplied into so much more. And so that's the principle of planting seeds. Very simple. It's not rocket science, but it's profound. It's profound. And so Jesus' own life demonstrates this principle. When you look at the context of this passage, even as it starts off with what you have on the screen, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Son of Man is Jesus. He's talking about himself. He's talking about his death, right? And when you read on in the passage, it still continues talking about his death. It's very clear. When he uses this example, he's actually talking about his own life, which is really profound to think that Jesus is like, hey, you know, if my life is just my life, then it's just a single seed. But if it dies, it's buried in the ground, and then it sprouts, it multiplies, and it becomes something so much bigger. Well, that's amazing, because you think of all the lives that would have counted for something. Certainly it would be Jesus' life, right? He did some amazing things. He taught things. He healed people. He raised three people from the dead. He walked on water. He ascended up into the heavens. A voice from heaven spoke to him. I mean, cool stuff happens with Jesus' life, no doubt. But he's saying, yeah, but it's just a single seed. But when he died, well, that's a completely different game. Because he died for a reason. He died to pay our death penalty. He died to pay for our sins. That anyone who would believe in him and what he did for them and trust his payment for their sins, that anyone who would believe that would have eternal life, would cross from death to life. And so, because of what Jesus did in his death, so many people, millions of people, were given life. And so in this, he's kind of saying, hey, you know, it's time for me to be glorified. And, you know, that's a hard deal. It's a hard deal, but unless I die, then this is it. This is what I had to offer you. But through my death, it's like a seed that's planted in the ground. So much more life is going to come from my death. And so this principle of planting seeds, as given by Jesus, relates first and foremost to his own life. That's what he's talking about in context there. We also see that salvation demonstrates this principle. So in this passage, it says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And if you think about loving your life, you know, who in here loves your life? Well, after reading the verse, you don't want to raise your hand, right? But without the verse, you'd be like, oh yeah, of course. We like our lives, right? We like our friendships. We like our freedoms. We like stuff that we buy. We like our experiences. We like our hobbies. We like our financial freedom. We like our sex lives. There are a lot of things about our lives that we like. And what happens when someone is thinking about putting their faith in Jesus Christ, even though we're like, hey, it's a free gift, you know, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. I think there's this sense of, oh yeah, if I follow Jesus, if I put my faith in Jesus, if I become a Christian, he's going to ask me to change. He's going to want certain things to be different in my life, and I don't know about that. And I think people will refuse to come to Jesus because they're afraid of the costs. They're afraid of what it will cost their life. It's because they love their life. Even in John, earlier in our reading, it was talking about how people refuse to come to the light because they love their sins. They love the darkness. They're afraid to come to the light because, won't be able to do that anymore. And so when people love their life, sometimes that's what prevents them from coming to Jesus. So they love their life. As a result, they lose it. They lose eternal life. But someone who hates their life, someone who looks at that stuff and is like, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I just want to follow Jesus. I want to be free, but I want to be free from my sins more than I want to be free to do whatever I want. I want to be in relationship with God. That's what really matters. And I'm willing to just forget the world. Forget the cost and follow Jesus. And when you hate your life at that level, then you don't have this hindrance that keeps you from coming to Him. Another thing, or another area we can see this principle at work is just more in day-to-day life, like in serving. And we see that here at the very end of the passage. It's maybe not as clean of a tie-in as it is in some other places, but in verse 26, he says, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So we see that right after this part where he's talking about the seeds, he brings up service. And I think in this version in Luke 9, this is tied in a little bit more closely. So let me just read that. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? So in that passage, we can see that that's a real parallel passage, right? It's very similar. He's saying similar things there. And there, he doesn't talk about a seed dying. He uses a different expression. He talks about taking up your cross. If you think about taking up a cross, you're going to your death, right? So it's really a similar thought. But I think there's one really key word in the passage in Luke, and that's the word daily. Daily. Because what that makes clear is this is not talking about like being a martyr, right? I'm going to give my life for Jesus. But to pick up your cross daily is more of a dying to myself, dying to my life or my desires in more of an ongoing way, in a daily way. And when we do that, it actually produces life. When we love others, when we serve others, we die to ourselves and live for what God wants. When we serve, when we become a servant of God or a servant of other people, then that's something that actually produces life. And it's like planting a seed, and it multiplies. And it's a way of making a big splash. Because when you die to yourself, that little seed is planted, and you become more. You have a greater impact than what you ever had to offer before. And so, like, when we think of those guys in that movie, you know, they wanted to make a big splash, and they came up with this great idea of stealing books. And I'll give them, it was a creative idea. And yet it didn't really work out for them very well, as you can imagine. They ended up in prison. And they made the wrong big splash. But I think this principle of planting seeds captures that same heart of you can have a big impact. God does want to use your life to do big things. But it starts with us dying to ourselves and to what we want, and instead we live for the things of God. And then that multiplies into really precious, glorious things. We can see an example of that in parenting. And you can think of your own parents. You know, for me, I had a real traditional upbringing, and so, you know, I can think of my mom doing cooking and cleaning and laundry and staying up in the middle of the night with me when I was sick, and I imagine when I was a baby, you know, the sleepless nights, and putting up with me when I was a teen, and I was a jerk, and I was rebellious, and going through all that. She's just daily laying down her life for me and for my siblings. And my dad doing some of those things as well, but a lot of it just working and providing for the family and taking us to church and trying to disciple us spiritually. And there's just a lot of serving that goes into that, right? They're laying down their lives. And we see that that gets multiplied into other lives. And it's not all that we're doing. It's not like, oh, we're just building into our kids. It's not all about the kids. But we're doing other stuff too. As parents, we're blessing other people. We're blessing our communities. And then we produce these kids who have been built into, and then they go out and they multiply. And so we can see this at work in a very similar way to how a seed works. We could see this in our own lives. You might think about people who have really left a mark on your life. Maybe Sunday school teacher, or a coach, or vacation Bible school, or maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody built into your life. And you look at that person like, man, that person really had an impact on me. And then look at them and think about who else they built into. You're probably not the only one. And you can see how when they gave of their life and their time and their energy, that it was a blessing to you and to a lot of people. They multiplied their lives. I mean, you look at all those people, you know, Sunday school teachers and coaches and school teachers, and a lot of those people, you know, it's not like they're getting rich doing this. They're not doing it for themselves. They're dying to themselves and their own desires. And then that produces this fruit in dozens or hundreds of thousands of other people. And so hopefully we've all had an opportunity to see that in our own lives. What I'd like to do is I'd like to show you guys a little video clip. And I think it captures this last point here. Just love moves in mysterious ways. I think sometimes we can see just, you know, like a kid. You can see, well, you build into your kid and then they grow up and they have more kids, and that's pretty clear there. But I think a lot of just laying down our life daily, picking up our cross and carrying it, isn't necessarily a, hey guys, come on, let's buck up. You know, let's do more. Let's try harder. Maybe for some people, that should be the message you walk away with this morning. But I think for a lot of people, what it is just understanding you're already doing something that counts. You're already making a big splash with your life. And you don't need to look for a bigger splash, but just keep doing those daily things, planting those little seeds, and you'll find that that bears an incredible fruit. So let's watch this video. It's about 5 minutes, and then I'll just share a few more thoughts. I like that video. I think that captures just how when you love people. You don't really know what fruit that's going to bear, but I think it does have a rippling effect sometimes. And maybe it seems cheesy. Obviously, this was set up, and they're not just following around real people with a camera, but that happens in real life. You know, sometimes people love us, and it creates a response in us to love other people. And I'll tell you a story from my own life. There was a time when we were going through some financial struggles, and things are pretty hard. And I'm a pretty level guy. Like, I just emotionally, I don't go up and down a whole lot. It's kind of stay steady for the most part. And so we went through this tough time, and it was an extended time. And it wasn't like it was super hard for me the whole time, but it did get to a point where there was a period of a couple weeks where I started just having kind of all these ugly thoughts and feeling alone in my trial and just like, man, does anybody know what I'm going through? Does anybody care? Nobody's asking about it or saying, hey, we're praying for you or anything like that. And part of me is okay because it's like, well, I don't remember other people's trials either, you know. I don't say, hey, I'm praying for you, unless, you know, there's something really in the forefront of my mind. So part of me kind of understands, but part of me's just kind of, I don't know, just kind of having a pity party. And so right in this period when I was having this little pity party, there was someone else who I knew who was also going through a financial struggle, and their struggle was a lot greater than mine. And I heard of someone that gave them some money, a significant amount of money. Now, when someone's going through a hard time, usually you're not given enough money that it really fixes your problems, right? Unless you have millionaire friends or something. But someone gave this other person a significant amount of money. And it was really cool. And I thought it was really neat. I was encouraged by that. And then this person had a couple other just things go on in their life where they felt particularly blessed. And they felt like just God was really being gracious to this person, and so what they decided to do is they turned around and they took this significant gift that they had been given, and they gave it away. They gave it all away to other people, and we were one of the recipients of that, and even the chunk that we got was a very significant thing. And it's obviously it's a blessing when someone gives you money. You know, that's always encouraging. But it was cool because even though I'm pretty level, you know, that one time I kind of went down into the pit and was having a pity party was right when this person showed up and gave me this money and told me this story. And it was just really cool because it was like the video where someone had blessed this person and this person blessed someone else. And I realize as I'm sharing this, I suppose that means I'm supposed to give it to somebody else. I don't know exactly how that works, but... but it was just really cool, and that's how we don't know. Like, there's this mysterious, we're just planting seeds, and we don't always know exactly how they turn out. But I just think for us to have this mindset of this little stuff that we do is a really big deal. It is a big splash. And to see value in that, that when you have an opportunity to serve your neighbor, or make a meal for somebody, or teach Sunday school, or clean up your kid's vomit, or whatever it is. All that little stuff is planting seeds. And it produces fruit. And it's a big deal. So if you have this desire to do something big with your life, to see a big splash out of your life, I think that's a good desire. And I think Jesus' advice on that is, okay, you want to make a big splash? Die to yourself. Die to yourself. Live for Him. Live for Him. Live for His people. Love them. Serve them. And over time, that's going to multiply into something far greater than what we could bring to the table just with our own strength and our own effort. So just to hold on to that principle. Giving your life multiplies your life. You want to make a big splash? Give up your life. So let's pray. God, we thank you for just your scripture and just how you do train us through the words there. And you tell us about your great love for us, our relationship with you, our identity in you, and you tell us how to live, and you tell us insightful things like, hey, the way that you really experience life is by dying to yourself. That is not intuitive at all. It's really simple, but if you didn't tell me that, I wouldn't get that. And so I just thank you for your word and just how it touches our hearts and changes us. And so I pray, God, just as we have this desire, or many of us do, to do something significant with our lives, God, I pray that you would help us to see things through your eyes, that we would see what's significant to you, and that we would see that often just the little stuff that we do, a lot of times the little stuff that we're already doing is stuff that makes a big splash. And so we thank you for this time here and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.